I'm recording, by the way. I feel like we could just get into it if we're all... Oh my God, do you know the intro song?
Yeah, I know the intro, Kelsey. I listen to your podcast on occasion.
I was going to say, there's no way Rick's ever heard an episode, but I'm calling... I don't mean to keep throwing you under the bus. It's just you're so anti-culture that, like, you are the culture. You know what I mean? Like, you
mean anything? I don't know.
No,
is that like
so
is that
cool.
like a good thing?
Yes.
Thank you.
Like you don't pay attention to the mainstream bullshit. Like you're
I'm a fucking hipster. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, you're a trendsetter, not like you're not a listener. You are the voice. Ooh.
Okay. All right. I'm trying to do things. I think that's
the guy who claims to be a hipster, but I'm like hopelessly addicted to Yelp reviews.
Yeah. I was gonna say I fucking love the Daily and shit. I listen to the Daily.
Oh, I do too.
Hey, shout out to the Daily, Michael Barbaro doing good work.
That's not this podcast. In fact,
here's what else you need. Oh my god. Know the day.
Do you guys not listen to ABC Start Here with Brad Milkey? Oh, he's a good one. If
I'm
you
lactose
like
intolerant.
Okay, Jesus Christ. We haven't even fucking started. Okay, let me just start. We're like 6 minutes in.
Okay.
Guys, welcome to Confidently Insecure, the podcast where we're absolutely sure we don't know everything. I am your host, Kelsey Darrow. You know, we don't know everything. Every week we talk about some shit we don't know, but I'm flipping the script on you guys. This is an episode where I actually know everything about this topic. I've brought in my co-host from my other podcast. And if you didn't know I had another podcast by now, what the fuck? Garrett Bernard and Zach Corn Diddy Kornfeld.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining, friends.
Thanks for having us.
I was gonna introduce you guys and like again, like gas y'all up, but I thought it would be funnier if you two introduced each other.
Oh, I've been waiting all my life for this moment. Oh,
wow. All right. Rick is like, I would rather do anything else. Here come your improv skills. All right, Zach, you go first.
All right, let's.
Garrick Bernard is a stand-up comedian, professional screenwriter. You know his work from CBS All Access's Star Trek Lower Decks. Also, Hulu, Solar Opposites. New episodes out almost. And starting this sometime, you will be able to see him on Freeform's new show, Single Drunk Female. But he's also a lover. And a fighter. He does some sort of martial arts, and he is a sci-fi nerd and just a fun guy.
Yeah. Hey. Oh, wow. Hey. Thanks, man.
That was really good. A plus. All right.
And then on my left, we've got Zach Kornfeld, one of the many four of the Try Guys. I shouldn't have said many.
Strong start.
Try Guys. New homeowner. newly engaged CEO of a tea company that I love, that I buy stuff from. Thanks. Got good sweaters, good taste in glasses.
You can stop right there. That's the one that means the most.
That was and speaking of sweaters, if you're not watching this on youtube.com/Kelsey Darrow, we are all rocking the I'm Sensitive merch, all three colors. Rick, you have to show them the back of yours, though, because that color is my favorite.
Oh, yeah, the back of mine is pretty.
It's got the neon yellow.
Oh, the yellow. So what color is my back?
Black. And so is the white.
Cool. Yeah, the yellow is
dope. A little pop of color, just a little pop. But they're pretty comfy, but not as comfy as those Try Guy hoodies. I'm going to just be real.
Oh, my God. The Try Guy hoodies are so funny.
If we could combine forces, if it could be a little Triceratops who says that he's sensitive, that would.
Oh my God. I will just tell, I'll be straight up, like confidently, confidants, if you're going to spend money on a sweatshirt, absolutely go for Zach's. That one's like way more worth your buck, but mine's cuter, I guess.
I appreciate it.
Thank you guys for doing this. This is really funny and weird because I'm not used to hosting us, even though I probably do talk the most on Guilty Pleasures. I'm like excited to hang in a different setting and have you guys as guests. Zach, you've been on before to talk about your balls.
Yeah. Classic. Yeah. I came on, talked about my nut sack. That was a good time.
You also surprised one of our guests. That was really fun.
I'm sorry. You were talking about your scrotums?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your scrotum?
If you don't know Garrick, I almost lost a testicle once, and it's a fun story. I'll tell you about it some other time.
Well,
but,
we'll just
yeah.
send him the episode. Then he can say he's listened, he's heard an episode.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Yeah, I don't actually talk to my friends. I just send them content that I've made.
Honestly, yes, sometimes when you're in the fucking job we do, it's much easier to just be like, here. Yeah.
I don't want to repeat this story. Here is everything on it. Got it.
Exactly. Yeah. No, that's the one positive about doing what we do. Is like when I go to a new therapist or doctor, I'm like, here are the four links where you can understand everything about me and why I am the way I am.
It actually, and not to delay us from getting into
it's just
but
a picture of Florida. Sorry.
Having videos is such a good way of also keeping track of yourself. And I mean, I know we're going to be talking about chronic pain today. I rewatched some of my old videos and I was like, oh, that's where I was 3 years ago. So we'll get
that. No, I'm glad you said that because I was also going to tease the listeners to stay tuned. We're not just going to be talking about our new hit podcast, Guilty Pleasures, but there will be some interesting tough stuff convo as we talk about chronic pain that, spoiler alert, all three of us live with. And I'm really excited to dive into that because I feel like we have a bunch of different perspectives. Zach, you've been like very open, but I still feel like you haven't really done too much content around it with the Try Guys. Myself, I feel like I talk about it a lot. There's a lot of content out there. And then Rick, we just found out as your dearest, closest, bestest, oldest friends, just found out about your chronic pain like a month ago or something.
At the photo shoot for this, for Guilty Pleasures. It was like casually dropped.
I play a lot of stuff close to the chest, but also because... I didn't even know it was that big a deal, but when we come back around to my thing.
Oh, we're going to get into it. But before we get into the deep, tough crying things, let's do some fun stuff. Let's talk about Guilty Pleasures. Obviously, Guilty Pleasures is our new podcast. I feel like, Zach, you should just give the log line because you do it every single week so well. Just give us the log line.
I'm a guest here.
Okay.
I'm a guest.
You're like, I'm doing relaxing. Any work. Okay, fine.
I'm off the clock.
This is my impression of Zach doing our episode introduction every week. Welcome to Guilty Pleasures, the podcast that loves what it loves. I am your host, Zach Kornfeld. And as always, my co-host, we've got Kelsey Dara and Garrick Bernard. How you guys doing? This is where we talk about shows.
I'm so exasperated.
I don't know. What's the rest of it, Rick? What am I missing?
It's just a synopsis of the show or the movie that we're watching. And then the guests. I think that's it, right?
Yeah.
I think you got
pretty
it.
Pretty much crushed it.
Thank you.
Guilty Pleasures, look, it's a show about guilty pleasure, movies and TV shows, but more than anything, it is the most wonderfully selfish thing I've ever done in my life. It is an excuse to talk with my buddies, and I very intentionally made sure to make a show with two people who are way funnier than me.
Oh, please.
Talk about movies all the time. And then we invite in guests to talk about their favorite movies. And like everyone's like, does this movie count as guilty pleasure? I don't give a shit. I just want to talk about them.
Just watch movies. Let's just hang out.
It's been a big problem where people are arguing like what constitutes a guilty pleasure. And I'm like, that's the point. We're creating chaos and conversation.
But
I'm curious. Let me start with Rick. I've known Zach's like cinephilia for a while, but I didn't know you were such a stan for so many fandoms. Like where did your love of cinematic arts come in?
Like, what do you mean by cinematic art? Like just in general?
Yeah. You grew up in LA and I feel like everyone that grows up in LA is like very anti-entertainment industry, but you went like deep in. You have these fandoms and these, you know, these genres that you're obsessed with. Like when did that start in your life?
So like the sci-fi stuff started immediately because my nerd stuff, my brother, huge nerd, and just kind of like passed that down to me. And I was like, oh, he's the coolest person on the planet. So I just want to be like him. And so I just started watching like Star Trek stuff. And I mean, so watching his Star Trek stuff. I didn't watch Star Trek growing up, but anything like other than that, like was like sci-fi, like Pitch Black, watch that. watch this one show called like, it's like 7 days or whatever, where they invented a time machine, but it can only go back a week. And that was pretty sick.
Fun.
It was like only a week for like a couple hours or some shit like that. And I was like, oh shit. So they would go back a week and like try to mess with stuff. So I'm like obsessed with time travel. But,
oh, I didn't realize it was like that specific, like time travel. Okay.
Like time travel stuff. Love it. Love it to death.
And it's usually the easiest to make fun of. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the easiest one because you can always like pull threads immediately.
Right. Right.
Because it's not a real thing or a real science.
Is my house shaking?
Oh my God. Is there an earthquake?
I think so.
No way. Wouldn't it be so amazing if we got an earthquake?
I'm on a podcast, so be cool. But also, I'm like, it's an earthquake, so I should probably react. No, I think we're good. It was a little baby one.
And I've said this earlier, but if you're hearing sirens and helicopters this episode, something is fucking going on outside of my apartment. I can't find anything on the Twitters, which usually probably means it's a murder. But anyways, back to Rick's love of cinema. Do you find yourself like happy that you ended up in the business, even though you kind of grew up around it and were probably like saw the torted tales of people that failed? And
so I did see the people that failed, but I never really saw any inkling of like the industry at all. Like you wouldn't see like billboards or like for your consideration billboards or messaging anywhere, honestly, because
you grew up what, like in East LA?
No, like Southwest-ish.
Southwest. Okay. Nice.
Yeah, like, you guys, there's a show called Baldwin Hills. I grew up there.
I know where Baldwin, okay.
Yeah, Baldwin Hills. And I, a lot of that stuff is like ignorable. Nobody was sending their kid to acting camp or some shit like that. Yeah. Or like how you would expect LA to be like. It felt more like a small town than a lot of people realize. Like, if you went into like the LAUSD school system, it was kind of like very
then you start
connected. It's like if you know two people, you know most.
There's a lot of nepotism, I have to imagine.
Sure, on the other side of things, when you go to like a private school or whatever and you get sent to like those like, you know, higher institutions, I guess, or like your mom is like a producer or something,
right?
And then you get in. So if you went to Crossroads, which is what my brother went to Crossroads, he went to school with a lot of like
not your
famous
favorite
people.
Movie, Kelsey.
I was gonna say, wait a minute, okay, but not that's yeah,
not
that's
your favorite movie. But he went to school with a lot of those
name
people.
Drop. Come on, name drop.
Zooey Deschanel. Damon Wayans Jr.
Ooh.
Wait, them or their kids?
Them.
Yeah, we're old, Zach. We're old.
I know. Yeah. I just was making sure. I'm like, wait, that doesn't make sense. Okay.
Baron Davis. I think Kate Hudson also.
Wow. I did.
Yeah.
You know, I was
my guy from fucking Big Bang Theory. That
guy, one, Sheldon.
No, not Sheldon.
Well, does any other one matter?
Who cares?
Yeah.
Dude, I am so grateful.
I lived with his mom.
All my childhood, I wanted to like grow up in LA, and hearing that list now, the fucking insecurity that I would have had going to that school Deschanel, like if I'm not shit next to these people. Oh my God.
If you went to that school, you'd probably be fine now. You know, like you'd
probably be married to Zooey Deschanel and we'd be divorced.
That's absolutely not at all what we assumed.
All of those kids work.
But so, I'm glad you like seamlessly transitioned, Zach, because I was going to ask you, because you grew up on the opposite end of the entertainment spectrum in the Broadway theater actor world, New York. I mean,
not really. I mean, I grew up in the suburbs of New York. I was always obsessed with storytelling, and that came from a story that's too long for right now, but just like my depression and my need and compulsive desire to tell stories as a way to make sense of the chaos of the world.
Oh, that's cute and nice and poetic.
Child with depression, so cute.
No, it's like the pink sweater.
It always comes from depression, doesn't it? You know, because it was just that one summer where you're just like in bed and you're just like, let me just see what indie movies are, you know, like in general.
Yeah. You don't even like know what they're called. You're just like, well, I've heard about this one. I have to go rent it at Blockbuster. It's on VHS. Yeah. Like, it's dusty. Yeah, we all, I mean, look at us. All three of us are probably clinically depressed at some point or another in our lives. But I think that's why we also are in the comedy space, is because
right.
That's
how we like to make fun of that.
Yeah. Speaking of,
I guess the more realistic, because I brushed off you saying that I grew up going to Broadway, which is not true, but I did grow up
going to Broadway.
But I did grow up going to concerts all the time. That my dad was in the music industry, so I grew up seeing rock stars, and like that was like all my early childhood memories are like of rock, just gods. And so definitely a part of me was like, oh, I want that. I can't do that, but I'm going to figure out a way to get that in a different way.
Yeah. You couldn't have been a rock star, not your sweet little baby soul, but no. You could be a filmmaker.
My fingers are too weak to do guitar. Like, they're too short. I tried playing guitar, but like, it hurts when you're a little kid. Like, holding down those power chords, it's hard.
Okay. Well, speaking of comedy, I don't know. This is a bad segue. I thought we could play a little game together before we get into the dramatic stuff. Remember, listeners, stay tuned for the dramatic stuff. Pain. Very dramatic stuff. The pain episode. I figured we could play a game of guilty pleasures, but of things that I came up with. So deciding if a topic is a pleasure. What is it, Zach? A pleasure, a guilty pleasure, or just plain guilty?
That Kelsey's on pure autopilot. When we record, she's just waiting for me to shut the fuck up so that she and Gary can tell jokes.
Did I get it right? Is it pleasure, guilty pleasure, or just plain guilty? That's how we rank our movies each week? Okay, so I'm going to introduce a topic. We're going to have a little, very quick conversation about it, and we're going to try and come to a collective decision if it's pleasure, guilty pleasure, or just plain guilty.
Cool.
First topic, peeing sitting down.
Oh, that's a guilty pleasure, Betty. That was a mix of buddy and baby. Baby is what I said. But no, guilty pleasure for sure, because I don't want, like, it's guilty pleasure because I don't want my girlfriend to come in and see me sitting down.
It's so vulnerable.
I'm just like, and she's just like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm peeing.
I promise I'm peeing.
Okay. I'm peeing. I'm just peeing. You can come in. But also there's like this weird stigma between like me
and
standing
it's a power
up.
Struggle. Cause now you're down. Yeah.
Yeah. And also my girlfriend is just like, she weirdly likes seeing me standing up and peeing.
Oh,
which
it's
is
so
very,
much fun. That's not weird at all.
Okay.
That
it's
is
a little
so
bit
common.
More.
I've asked Jared to let me hold his dick while he pees so I can see what
that
it's
is
like.
A common
Maggie
question.
Maggie has asked that too, and I'm like, not a
What is that? What is that female obsession?
What is that? We want to know what the
you
fuck
you guys
it's
just
like.
Don't have it. Okay.
Yeah,
I just don't trust, and I don't. Yeah. I know I'm gonna be the one that has to clean it up.
Yeah, I fully like shot it against the shower door just to be like, whoa, and then he was like, whoa, and I was like, oh. Well, all right. See ya. So are we going with guilty pleasure? Because I have a question. I saw this on TikTok.
Absolute pleasure for me.
Just straight
absolute
up pleasure.
Because if you go to sit,
I can't call it a straight pleasure because I don't do it all the time. You know, I would rather just go and stand up and be like, okay, if I did it like 90% of the time, I would just sit down. Like,
it's a pleasure.
It's a pleasure for sure.
Zach, well,
what was your TikTok, Kelsey?
What was your TikTok first?
I want to know.
Okay. The TikTok is like with girls, at least in my circle of friends, we have always talked about how like, if when you go sit down to pee, there's something about your muscles and like relaxing where like, you'll just take a shit sometimes and you're like, oh, I wasn't expecting you to take a shit, but I'm just like relaxed in here and I'm already sitting. If guys do that, doesn't it hit your balls on the way out?
Oh my God.
The pee or the poo. Nothing hits my balls. I don't even need you to clarify.
It is almost like
it's
like out, here. Though, yeah,
nah,
doesn't it
it's
just kind of
like this way and then this way. So if I'm sitting down, if I'm sitting down like this, it is balls this way, and then shit comes out at an angle.
But if it's long evolution, enough, it never just.
The human body is a miraculous thing.
Yeah.
Look, there's some old man out there with saggy balls, and they dip in the toilet. I'm sure. I know it comes for us all.
Right.
But it's not a concern of mine. For sure.
So are we landing in between guilty pleasure and pleasure?
Oh, but also, like, the worst is, have you ever been to a toilet where the water line is too high and you go to sit down?
Yeah.
And no.
And it just tips you off.
Tips in the water.
Oh, wait. I'm so sorry. Are you saying that, like, the pee hits your balls when you're sitting down, or are you saying shit
both
hits your balls?
No, I was going with shit, but
okay,
then
okay,
pee,
okay,
when your dick is
sure
soft, sometimes the dick is above the balls, and sometimes it's like a little dribble skibble situation.
Yeah. You know, look, I'll monitor it. I'll keep a notebook by the toilet, and I'll let you know if anything
I
comes
would
up
very. And yeah, I'm going to send you this graphic of, like, the poop hitting the back of the balls, because sometimes the shit's so long that when it goes down, it just kind of lightly... You know, I'm making a movement with my hands, if you can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, I've never.
When I was a kid, I was terrified of shitting myself. And so I got really into the habit of always sitting down when I peed. Because sometimes you're peeing and then you're like, oh, I have to poop.
Oh.
And then you like, you hold your pee and it kind of hurts. And then you sit down and you poop. And, like, again, this is probably the origin of my IBS and stomach issues and all that. And I didn't know at the time. Right. I just thought this was what happened to people. But so I got quite comfortable sitting down when I pee, and I still enjoy
so
it quite a bit.
You're the anomaly then, where you sit to pee more often than you stand. So I have to give this one
things
to Rick.
I
have
I
to give him the guilty pleasure, because he's not the minority here.
Most things related to masculinity, I'm the anomaly. So
okay, sick.
Yeah. Same. Okay, moving on to our next question. Our next theme. Is it a pleasure, a guilty pleasure, or just plain guilty?
Hitting on your balls. What do you guys think?
Actually, it's very close.
I want to say guilty pleasure because... No, I'm kidding.
It's actually... It's very close. It's eating ass.
Oh.
I think it's in the culture a guilty pleasure... Because it's something that straight guys still talk about from a comedic perspective.
Ooh,
it still sounds funny.
It's still, yeah.
But personally, for you guys, are we talking?
I mean, think that is like.
I will say it's a guilty pleasure. I'm close enough with people where I can discuss it and be like, I don't want to really do this, but I love you. And I will take the extra time to make sure it's clean and safe for everyone involved. So it's a guilty pleasure for me. I don't get straight up pleasure from doing it or receiving, and I'm not guilty because I don't think it's that taboo. I think people like getting their butt licked.
Yeah.
So you're not into
I'm on
it.
The same. Right. See, yeah, that's what it is. Or it's just like it definitely depends on the person.
Yeah. I wear a lot of sweatpants lately in this work from home time, and it's just like, you know,
sloshing around down there.
You know, me and my pussy just slosh when I think about my pussy. So do we feel like guilty pleasure is a
guilty
good...
pleasure for sure?
Zach,
that's a good...
real quiet over there.
I am. I've tried to make a habit of not disclosing anything about my partner in that way, just out of respect.
You. Oh, I don't have that.
I don't mean that to,
so...
and that kind of like infers that like she does like it, and I'm not. That's not what I mean. I just like I'm not tipping my hat one way
keep
or the
digging
other.
Keep digging. Okay, we're gonna go with guilty pleasure.
I'm living in it.
Okay, this one's a little lighter.
It's
guilty pleasure,
hole.
Pleasure, or straight guilty. Baths.
Oh, just a pleasure.
Dude.
Pleasure.
Hell yeah, pleasure. Garrick. Fuck
just
yeah.
A pleasure.
Dude, I took a
are
bath last night and I loved it.
Oh
yeah,
my God.
I used to.
It's like body soup.
Sometimes it becomes body soup. You cannot be there. Oh, well, yeah. It's good body soup. Also, you're not fucking drinking the soup, you loser. Like, who's doing it? Who's just taking their hand, cupping it, and just like, oh, this is salty or whatever.
When I was little, weird. I think I would be like, I'm thirsty, and just like, but it was for like the dramatic effect probably. And one time I got really, really sick after drinking the bath.
Of course.
Water. I don't know if
of
it was
course
a
question. Oh, man.
But
so I am the type that will do the bath for relaxation purposes alone.
Yes, only.
I am. It is not for
nothing
getting
else
clean.
No, 100%.
I will. So as soon as the bath is over, if you have a shower in your bathroom, bathtub, you stand up, wash it, rinse off, and then go about your day. You know, because it is. You are in your own filth.
Yeah.
And you've been soaking there for a little bit, but it feels great. So shut up.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Me and my slothy vagina are sitting in that.
Now it's slothy?
Yeah.
Slothy.
What was
it's
before?
Real slow. Sloshy. I said sloshy.
Oh, sloshy. Sloshy and slothy. But never sloppy, okay? Don't get it twisted.
Oh, shit.
Okay, so we're a unanimous pleasure, right?
100%. Yeah. Get some Epsom salts or magnesium flakes. You step one little toe in there. It is like that first dip in your body down is better than any drink of wine, any hit of weed. It is instant relaxation.
It's instant Molly. Like, if you want to know what that come up feels like.
Good for your body. Like, good, it's good for muscle recovery.
I liked what you just did there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Epsom salts. Get some Epsom salts in it. We had to do for track. When I used to run track, you after like those long workouts, in order to get them to relax, get a Epsom salt bath.
Hell yeah.
And all those shin splints, all that shit, you know, it goes away for a little bit.
It's magic.
Look. Yeah.
I didn't know there were magnesium flakes.
That's great.
Magnesium flakes are, it's honestly like, it's Epsom salt, but like even stronger, but more expensive.
Because I take magnesium every day, but I didn't think of it in a flake form, like mashed potatoes or something.
That is incredible.
It's good. It's the same thing. We did a breakdancing video for Try Guys yesterday, and I was really expecting to have like a terrible flare up because it's pretty high impact. And I did biofreeze on my body, came home, did an Epsom salt bath, and it was like, I woke up today a new baby boy. It was great.
Aww, I do like to think of Zach in my mind. You are a baby chick, and every morning you break out of the egg. Like every
that little
morning,
emoji. Like,
that's you. Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Rick, I'll have to think of what your emoji is. Okay. Next subject: hands in pants.
Could it be the robot that's just going like this?
Yes. With your bionic spine, which we'll get to.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Hands in pants, but not just hands in pants, because everyone likes. Yeah, everyone likes hands in pants. Yeah. But also
in
holding
public
genitals. No. You oh. Say no. But also holding, cupping,
pleasure,
touching genitals.
Pleasure.
Well, like
I like the smell of my own balls.
Oh.
Sorry.
You know what?
It's Eric like is a braver like man than I am.
Smell of your own farts. It's okay.
Yeah, I am not like going to disagree with my co-host here.
Something.
I would never do that. Like, I'm pausing to say, is it guilty? Because, like, certainly because you're not supposed to do it.
Not supposed to do it.
Like, if I'm on a Zoom, I'm like, I should probably not touch
every day I'm
and it's not, for anyone who's listening, it's like, I'm not touching myself. Yes, I am touching myself. But it's not a sexual act.
No,
this is
more
of,
yeah,
I think it's a comfort thing.
It's a comfort thing. Yeah.
I want to make sure that they're still there. You know, because there's just like the you use it, you lose it type situation. If you don't use it, you lose it.
Because there are so many times during your day where you're just like, are my balls still there? I've been being a real bitch.
Look, again, I almost lost a testicle. It can happen.
Yes, there you go. And it's like a fucking loose bag of marbles. You got to make sure you got to shift them around. You know, you got to make sure they're seated properly. So it is a good amount of like adjusting from day to day. Because like, you know, I got thick thighs. You know, I'm not gonna be.
Okay.
I got my thighs are there.
It's too much Muay Thai.
No, it's just from track. It's just from track and fucking being
being ripped,
running, just being a running person. But like they would chafe, you know. So every now and again, it like pinches, and I'm like, God,
you gotta get that thigh gel stuff, and
I think
more work from home has created more hands in pants and genital touching again in a very like not sexual way because
of reason
comfort.
Why I had to stop wearing sweatpants.
Oh, really?
Well
have you guys been wearing underwear during quarantine?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Same.
See, that's what makes it too loose. If you don't wear underwear,
okay.
It's a lot.
Pants
of movement.
Are basically underwear for vaginas. So
lucky.
Yeah.
The fear of single underwear happening. Nutsack and zipper. It's just too scary.
Mm-hmm.
It's never happened to me. We all are scarred by there's something about Mary. I don't actually think it's gonna happen, but I need that layer.
No, we've all ladies know. After a fresh trim, there is some, like if you wear jeans or leggings without underwear, there is some hot tugging that just will really make your hair stand on end. No pun intended. Okay. So did we land on just pleasure?
You gotta say guilty pleasure. Because it is taboo.
It is kind of.
You know what? Guilty pleasure, but let's move it to pleasure. Normalize adjusting my balls in public. Thank you. For multiple
minutes on end while lying on the yeah. Yes.
There's nothing worse than when you like need to adjust and you have to like kind of fake that you're not adjusting, and then you end up doing it like five times.
We know.
Like, if I just got in there, like if you guys just let me get to
let me just get to moving.
Rick just had the most insane burp.
Oh, it was a burp. I'm sorry. I was burping and then I was trying to hide it.
It like made it more deep. You like created bass for it.
Oh no.
Burping, pure pleasure. Love the vibration on my throat.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. We've got two more and then we still have to talk about paint. So we're going to fire through these.
Lightning round. Got it.
Okay. Pedicures. You guys are dudes.
Never had one.
Lots of taboo. What?
I know.
Rick, when is your birthday?
September 5th.
Okay.
So, guys listening, send me stuff.
Literally putting in a pedicure appointment for you on that day. Rick's pedicure.
I've done it a couple times. It's not, I don't think I derive that much.
Oh, wow.
I'd rather a foot massage. I'm trying to think about it. Okay. I'm weird about my nails. It's like something deeply rooted in the OCD from my childhood. So, I don't want to say that I'm... representative of society here, but I will say, as like personally, I was in middle school or maybe high school as a boy getting mani pedis, and I did it.
So are you putting it in guilty?
I don't know what I'm putting it in. I don't care.
I'm gonna put it in guilty because I think they're too expensive. Like in LA especially, it's like $75 fucking dollars for a pedicure for a lady, especially if you're getting nail polish on. And I just think like, why are we trying to make our toes look cute? Like, if you're into that thing, go for it. But why do all of us have to do it?
Yeah, I mean, one person. So I thought you were asking because you were asking us, like, pedicures from a male perspective.
But
we're talking about the world of pedicures.
Then
I guess you call it a guilty pleasure, right? Because it's an oppression via nail polish. but I do know that it gives Maggie a lot of joy. Like, she...
Aww.
Does not like when she has her chipped nail polish, like life's over.
Especially during
the pandemic when she couldn't go to her lady.
I embraced it. I was so fucking thrilled. I was like, dirty toes for all. Fuck that. Okay. Last one.
Sequoia was so mad. Oh, sorry.
Anyway, oh, no. I need to know Sequoia's opinion because I do.
No, she was like extremely, extremely upset about everything closing down. And then she's also very like neurotic when it comes to health and everything like that. So she was very careful. We were very careful throughout all of quarantine.
Wow.
So
she's never got you to do her toes.
No,
nobody wants that.
Bless her. I've made Jared do like my left hand and stuff.
Yeah.
He knows how to do it. You should, Rick, you should surprise her.
I've done my sister's before. So
wait, you have a sister?
I have an older sister and an older brother.
I've only heard about your brother.
Yeah, I know.
Wait, there's so much we don't know about. Rick, what's your middle name?
Close to the chest. Anyway, that is my middle name.
Rick, close to the chest, Bernard. Got it. Yeah, okay, can we go? Should we do our last one? And this one, now that I know Zach's a little more private, maybe this might not be for you, but guilty pleasure, pleasure, or just plain guilty, porn.
Oh, I'm not. Yo, I'll talk about myself. I'm keeping her protected.
I'm like pleasure all the way. Although I think some of the weirder things I have seen may fall into guilty pleasure. But I think it's a straight up. Oh, Rick looks like he has something to say. I've noticed whenever Rick strokes his beard or rubs his hands, it's time to stop talking. You have the floor, sir.
I would put this in the guilty one because.
Pure guilty, okay.
Because I do for guys.
Okay.
Because I do think it gives us because of all of the easy access and how much there is, it gives us an unhealthy expectation to what sex is.
It sets you guys up for unrealistic.
Sets us up for not failure, but like
no failure in hurting
fucking hurting people. You know, like you. You go out and you're just fucking jamming shit. And you're just like, no, yo, that's not what this is.
Yeah.
Learn your person.
Learning.
It's oh so weird. Like, yeah. you know, you grow up. That's I'm like right. fucking 13 looking at porn and I'm just like, oh my God, I got a flipper over my back and fucking do a DDT or some
and that's
shit.
How and that's how you like, ended up missing your fucking
spine. My fucking spine. you know, but it, I do think that, it's just.
You know what? I'm so going to switch it. Mine. I'm so going to switch mine to guilt. Because I was thinking it from a pleasure standpoint of like how it's helped a lot of people. But I'm thinking it from like, I'm trying to look on the bright side. Like, let's be real. It's fucking guilty as fuck. Yeah. I mean, Zach, and I don't know if you can rebuttal in any manner.
It's an absolute pleasure. And here's why. No, it's not. I think like any time in my life when I am like, I guess I would call it a guilty pleasure because I think that there is a balance there. Like, people gotta
yank it.
You gotta unleash. Yeah. And especially if you're single, which I was for a long time, it is not healthy to keep that in. So you need something.
Right.
But it absolutely creates unrealistic expectations. Mm-hmm. And I found it's a little too easy to get reliant on it.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Oh yeah. It can make you very in your head. Reliance, like the perfect word.
I think it's the movie Don John or John Don, one of them.
Don John, I think.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt one.
Don John, yeah, where he.
Don Juan.
Don Juan.
Yeah.
I think it's Don Juan.
No, it's not Don Juan. It's what it's is either it? Don it's John Don or Juan? John Don. No,
it's not John Don.
It's Don John.
John Dong. It's a porn about a guy named John. With his
no,
massive...
but that actually is a perfect example of what can like those are the guys I grew up around.
I'm so sorry. Cut this out. But the movie is called Don
I will not
John.
Cut this out.
Sorry. The movie is called Don John. And it is a guy dealing with sex.
Porn addiction, right?
Yeah.
Porn
addiction. And sex addiction and porn addiction.
It doesn't make you feel bad for the main character either, which I like because it's kind of Well, that was really fun. That was Guilty Pleasure, or just plain guilty, not as our actual podcast of Guilty Pleasures. Thanks for playing, guys. I don't know if we solved anything. real quick, before we go into the really dramatic, dark, sad stuff, we're going to throw it to a break. The weather is getting warmer, so it is time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now that I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from 30 doll hairs, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
I can confirm this. I'm actually wearing Quince pants right now.
You are.
They are they're loose, they're breezy. These babies have a button, a fly, drawstring, and elastic in the band. So I can dress them up, I can dress them down.
Yes.
They're the perfect pant for summer, and I'm really comfortable as hell in them.
Honestly, I am wearing the Quince 14 karat gold earring loop right now.
Oh my God.
I know. I think it's so cute. It does not tarnish. It is so comfy, and I have sensitive ears, so I'm really loving this for my body. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Kelsey for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Kelsey to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Kelsey. Confidants, I feel like at this point you should be able to do this ad with me because what do I believe in? Affordable therapy for all. This isn't just an ad read. This is a company that is very close to my heart. Y'all know I'm talking about BetterHelp. It is the app that has facilitated great therapeutic matches for not only me, but a ton of my friends and family. And don't worry, it is available worldwide. They are licensed professional counselors who are specialized in things like anger, LGBT matters, gay, grief, self-esteem, I hate myself, trauma, that was a ghost traumatizing you, and sleeping. Everything you share is confidential, convenient, it's professional, yeah, sure, and affordable. You can check out testimonials posted daily on their site, and my favorite part about it is if you don't like your therapist, baby, it's like Bumble. You can just swipe right through to get a new one, new match, get matched in under 24 hours when you sign up. So many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. I wonder if that pandemic has anything to do with it. And I want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting BetterHelp.com/CI. Join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp. HELP.com/CI. Confidants, whether you work for yourself or you're part of a team, it's time to create some stuff. Got to keep those creative juices flowing, even during a pandemic. I want you to be using Issue. Issue is an all-in-one platform to create and distribute beautiful digital content, from marketing materials to magazines, flip books and brochures and more, because like PDFs are so outdated. Do not send me a PDF. Issue makes content better. Issue also works seamlessly with tools you already use, like Canva. I know all you Insta hosts be using Canva, Dropbox, where my professional BB's at, and InDesign, where all my artistics at. Make it once and distribute it everywhere without reformatting. Your content's already optimized for engagement and ready to share. Issue helps out creators, marketers, designers, and anyone who wants to make content that stands out. So you can get started today with Issue for free, or if you sign up for a premium account, you will get 50% off when you go to issue.com/podcast and use promo code confidently. That's issue.com/podcast and use promo code confidently at checkout for your free account or 50% off your premium account. I have a premium account. Join me. That's issue.com/podcast with promo code confidently. Back to the show. And we're back for that break now. Wow, those ads. Can you believe it? I would buy it. Thanks, guys. Okay, let's talk about chronic pain. I've got you for like 15 more minutes, and I am super, super fucking interested in hearing it from the male perspective, because the audience has heard about me and like my trials and tribulations. They know I'm writing the book about it. I want to start.
You decide,
with,
by the way, you're writing that book.
Yeah. Hell, we signed the paperwork. I think
all
I'm gonna
call
it.
I'm stoked.
My lead for the book title is "It Fucking Hurts," and it's a skeleton like flipping off the reader. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Kelsey, by the way, has like 3 books, and she texted us. She's like, "Which one should I write first?" And
I
were like, "I think this. We'll one of the two. I'm excited you're writing this one.
And I'm like simultaneously also working on a different. Whatever. Okay.
Whatever.
Tell me, Rick, because I find it fascinating that you hid this for so long. And can you just tell the people what you got, what you're diagnosed as, and then Zach will kind of do the same thing.
Okay. So I have a spinal degenerative disease where I was born with a birth defect that caused my C4 disc, which is the fourth disc, if you're counting from your head down in your spine. And the right wing of that disc was completely missing, which it was just gone.
Not available.
One of my spinal discs was literally just half of it. So I was, my spine was leaning and buckling to the right because of that lack of support there.
Right.
And honestly, you live your life and you're 13 years old and you're just like, oh, I'm just going to keep running around. There are certain pains that happen. Sure. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. You completely ignore it. So as my spine started to scoliosis, which is what scoliosis is, which is it started to curve.
The curvature.
I heard that as a verb. That's so cool.
I know. I was really fascinated by that too.
I love that. Hell yeah.
As my spine started to do that, I started to get pretty aggressive pain, and I didn't know where it was coming from. I thought it was my posture was going bad. I thought I had an old sports injury and all that stuff. And that's how I would explain it. So I would just like either take Advil or
your liver.
Stretch it out or do something for that matter. Because it feels what it is that because that spinal piece is missing, I just have a nerve ending that is floating there.
Oh, fuck. No.
Collectively, right. Just like scrunch up in their seat.
Yeah. So if I bend any like weird way or something like that, it just like sends that shock all the way to right. behind my shoulder.
And this whole time, you're doing track.
Yep.
You're running around with a broken
Muay Thai. Wow. As an adult.
And I'm doing all these things, and I'm just like, oh well, I guess this is what normal? Life is, or like, I guess this is. I thought okay, so I thought it was aging. I thought it was like, oh, I hear people talk about their backs all the time. Right. Blah blah. I had this stand-up joke where I was just like, I didn't know that aging was feeling your back at all times. Right. Like yeah. I thought that was the thing.
Normal, right.
I thought that was normal, and I was like, okay, cool. So this is just what it is. And then I asked my friend who is older than I am. Hey, have you ever had like a back pain? For more than 10 years, like constant. And he was like, fuck no, you should like go to the hospital, dog. What is wrong with you? Oof. And I went,
do you know, Kelsey, sorry to interrupt. The definition of chronic pain, what is a pain that lasts, I think, more than like a couple weeks or
yeah, I think
2 months?
It's like 3 weeks. Some people say 3 months.
I think
some
three. It's either 3 weeks or 3 months. Yeah. And yeah, so it's crazy how long we all suffered with pain before we're like, huh, that's wrong, right?
That doesn't feel good. And yeah. that I think this is the dumb masculinity thing where I was just like, oh, this is fine. I watch my dad. Yeah, I'm growing. I watch my dad build my mom a house. All this shit. Like, so I didn't want to complain about it. And then, yeah, you deny it. And I deny it all day long. And then I went to the doctor and got an x-ray. And this is the beginning of quarantine.
Right.
So this is like,
recent.
Oh, wow. March. So this is, you live with this very all recent. The way right. until yeah. a
Your
year
age
ago.
Now.
Until a year ago.
Wow.
Yes.
So what is that, like 19 years or something? Wait, am I doing that math right?
No, yeah. it didn't start flaring up until I was 18. So
at
that's
least
when I
11 years of yeah, like at least chronic years. Back pain that you're just yeah. like,
okay, wait.
Maybe I'll go to a doctor.
Right.
We're gonna pause your story with questions because I want to know your pain. Okay, obviously it was this ever-present pain, but like, did it impact your sleeping? Were you like just shifting around a lot? Like, what? Where did it hit you most? Was it specific
so
time
like,
of day?
In the mornings probably. When you wake up mornings. after you're just like been idle for 8 hours, you wake up and you're just like, what the fuck happened to me last night? And it's that, and
it
it's because
you
beginning...
tossed the girl you had sex with over
your
head.
Over your shoulder.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And it's just like, oh well, I guess I can't do that anymore.
I got too much.
Right. Well,
masculinity.
You know, I'm
ruining
around
story.
Over
I'm
here.
So sorry.
But you went and got an x-ray, and the x-ray was so unbelievable that the doctor was thought it was like your fault for moving. And he was like, this can't
be
correct. So
the funny. Doctor thought that I was
gaslighting. Number one.
Gaslighting. Number one.
You're going
sure,
to
if you ever, if you ever talk about pain or anything like that, especially black people, if you ever talk about pain, fucking like tell them overrate it. Tell them this is the most painful thing you've ever dealt with, and this is weird. Every time they're like, what's your pain index? What's the number 1 through 10? Say it's over a 5. Ooh. At least over a 5.
Yeah.
I was saying 7 to 8 every time.
Yeah.
And is they it, have like the little smiley faces. And what does your face look like? Do the next one over.
Yeah. Just fucking look at him and be like,
yeah.
Do you feel it?
Like, so... Yeah, so I'm getting gaslit by my medical.
Your very first experience with like chronic,
right?
Yeah,
and
welcome to the
he
world.
He was like, you must have moved during the X-ray because this doesn't seem right. So I went out, got another X-ray, and then he was like, "Yo, stop moving! Don't move."
He's
don't
yelling
move.
At you.
He's not yelling
fucking
at me.
Occurred
I'm
to him
exaggerating.
It was the
I'm
same
exaggerating.
Spot.
I know.
It was the same spot.
I'm
and he was like,
laughing
this is...
at that. If instead of him being like, wow, you're missing a part and everything you told me about your pain equates to this. But he's like, nope, you're moving.
so that I do not like devalue this man's like entire career.
Right.
The second time. To be more realistic, he was like, okay, so it could be this one thing, which is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Or you could have moved again. So in order to make sure that this is correct, we're just going to, instead of x-raying your whole body, we're just going to x-ray your neck.
Right.
And that is where they, the third one, third time's a charm, they right. saw that my C4 disc was missing a part of it. And they're like, okay, so we need
Can I ask you, again, I want to interrupt you because I want to like talk about that moment. Like for a lot of people, like diagnostic or like imaging or finding something is a very big aha validating moment, but it's never delivered in like a validating manner. It's always like dragged out and you're kind of like, yeah, that's what I've been saying the whole time. And even after you get that vindication, it's kind of like, okay, well now open the curtain. Here's all the fucking shit that you're going to have to deal with because now we know what it is. Like we've been dealing with it for 9 something years. Like what were you feeling in that moment of like, I'm literally missing body
pieces? I was pretty sad about it. Because I was like, oh my God, I could have, if we had diagnosed this earlier, my spine could have been straighter, or I wouldn't have like spent money on like a chiropractor and all of this stuff. And
the chiropractor didn't like see fucking.
He didn't do x-rays or anything like that. Like,
but he didn't like feel it or anything.
No. Okay. I don't think he.
Chiropractors like, can smell bones, so I am surprised. Yeah.
No, I love way, chiropractors.
Yeah, the only way for him to like, he would have felt it. It was from the front, so you can't feel it from the back.
Okay.
So he would have had to like push really hard on the back of my neck.
And he's not saying just like exploratory fingering you.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, that would have been weird.
Sounds like my high school experience.
There it is.
Thanks.
So you're now on this path where you get the diagnosis. You're very fucking sad. You have to kind of grieve your old life and all this time that you've lost. And I know that that's definitely something Zach's felt too. Like we've talked about just like, oh my God, all these fucking years I could have been not eating gluten or like anti-inflammatory. Well,
I actually had a very different experience. But really? We'll get
okay,
there.
We'll pause.
Totally fascinating to me.
So you then go to these new doctors who want to do like a literal case study on you because they're like, we've never fucking seen somebody.
You are a miracle anomaly. Like your head should have fallen off your body.
Right. No, I don't think it was a
medical condition. It's your head rolls.
That's
off
what
shoulders.
I tell myself is that Garrick should have been like
headless,
like just like walking around with like. Right. Like, there's no way like that it should have stayed on.
It would have been. She was like, it's pretty crazy that you've been compensating for it because
well that'll fuck up everything else.
Right. It's like your right shoulder is a little bit higher than your left or some shit like that. But they couldn't tell when I was walking. They could only tell when I was walking away.
They could see it in your gait.
A little bit.
Oh, good use of the word gate.
Yeah, it's a rare one. You don't get to use it that much. So I feel good. Thank you for the shout out.
You're welcome.
Yeah. But they were saying if I didn't do the surgery, it would have gotten much, much worse as I got older.
I couldn't fucking imagine you at like 40.
No.
40, I would have been like, writing scripts like this.
Yeah. And like, so I guess like now that you did the surgery just a few weeks ago, which is like also insane to me that you had like spinal fusion surgery. I even told my PT and he was like, like it's not a like little thing. Were you like throw me on the table, doc, fucking half me, or were you nervy? That's how I talk to my doctors.
what
get
like
inside
so,
me doc slice
yeah,
me
yeah were you like let's fucking do this
yeah I think I was like if
this is gonna
listen
help.
If I die on the operating table then it is what it is, you know, like I was kind of like if this is how I go it sucks, but at least I fell asleep first, you know.
Oh my God, that's not what
no, this is where Garrick's sci-fi brain jumps in and he's like, all right, they're gonna put me under, then there's a horrible accident, but we have a state-of-the-art technology that's never been used before. Garrick Bernard is the bionic spine.
you get like the microchip inserted into your million dollar one man, you know, like that's
what I was looking for.
So like you get the surgery and how do you feel, like emotionally, physically?
You feel like death coming out of it.
You didn't look too hot.
It is definitely one of the weirder sensations I've ever had because it you feel that something is on your spine now. And then there's swelling or whatever, but it's just like, there is definitely something there wasn't there before. And when you move, when you move your head, you're just like, oh fuck. Okay. If I move like a little bit to the left or a little bit to the right, or I don't support my head as much as I can with my shoulders, there's an excruciating pain that happens.
Is that normal? Are you supposed to feel that?
Yeah, apparently. They're like,
dear listeners, you never want to be aware of your bones. It's not fun. Yes. There's never a time where you're like, oh, is that my bone?
Yeah. Right. Same it always with, sucks. Like, nerve. Yeah. It's I, never like, fun. When you said the thing about feeling something, I like shook because the idea of it in my spine just gave me the shivers. But that's how I feel every day with my face, is it feels like there's like someone has stuck sand. Like in or out, and it just feels like someone's like this all day, and it takes everything in me to like keep my face not like this. You're gonna have to go to .com to see what I just did, you guys. But like,
I smiled at that, which made me feel bad because it's not funny, but it's because it's funny. Ice cream truck in the background, and it's so adorable. It was the cutest scoring for that moment.
It sounds like a little psychotic when you put it that way.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to come back to Rick. Like, I'd like to merge into to today, but I want to go to Zach and bring you up to today because we talked lightly about your chronic pain. I think once or twice
who knows,
right? We were always like, we're gonna do a whole episode about it, but tell the people what you have and all that jazz.
By the way, bonus, I'm tracking Maggie on Find Friends and she's still at work, so we got bonus time, baby.
Yeah nice. We're definitely going over, but you're welcome, listeners. I got two fantastic gentlefolk.
We'll edit down the shitting on our balls part.
I'm not editing a single thing out of this.
Amazing.
So I have an autoimmune disease, an inflammatory condition called ankylosing spondylitis.
Fun to say.
Hilarious you say that, because in the first video I ever made about it, I mispronounced it. I rewatched it. I said like I don't know what I said. I don't know. I did it wrong.
It's not easy to say. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically it is an inflammatory condition where your body breaks down the ligaments between your bones and then is like, bro, I'm so sorry. Can I give you more bone? And so if untreated, all my bones would fuse into just one giant mega bone.
You should never be.
It's like the opposite of mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Dude, we
got to meet in the middle.
Don't eat some bone.
I'm missing some stuff. You're growing too much stuff.
I got too much of it.
Oh my God.
There are some gnarly photos of, not photos. There's a drawing of people in the medieval ages. And you basically just kind of become like a question mark. And then like eventually a bone like grows off your spine and punctures your lungs and you die.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, super sick. Cool. That's not going to happen to me, but I like telling people that because it's like, oh, okay, this shit's serious.
Yeah, you got to know. Like back in the day before there was treatment, the thing I had suicide disease because 1 in 3 people fucking died by suicide because of it. And it's like, it's one of those things where you want people to understand how bad it is without any like sympathy. I think for me, at least, I'm always like, yours don't feel bad for me, but like, hello, fucking feel bad. I mean,
yours is, or at least was considered the worst pain imaginable. And that's like, how do you communicate that to somebody?
You can't sounding like a baby and dramatic and over, like you can't. But like with yours, I think that, I mean, that's what it triggered in me was like, you do have to kind of tell people too.
Yeah.
Like,
because we all suffer from invisible illness. We have chronic pain. And by chronic, it means it is pain that does not go away.
Yes.
But the invisible part of it is the craziest part because you can't see it.
Yep.
So other people can't see it. Your doctors can't see it. Your friends can't see it. Your family can't see it. But also you can't see it. And so I'm jumping ahead of here in the story. But like, it's very hard to know when you're sick and also to keep track of your symptoms and to know like, am I getting better? Am I getting worse? Yes. Fuck if I know. So AS, basically as it is now, I'm on medicine that in theory stops the progression of disease. I have some fusion in my hips. There's like a little spur growing off my spine.
Those hurt.
I wish I could give it to you, Garrick.
Yeah, that sounds perfect for Rick.
I would love it. Give that grind.
It's like a little cowboy boot.
Rick said that so earnestly. I would love it.
I would love it. Give it to me.
But functionally what it leaves me with is a lot of inflammation and stiffness. Mm. So when I don't move for a long time, like sleeping, My body gets stiff. I get in pain. Hello, cat on Kelsey's desk.
This is my cat, Leo.
I like cat. Yeah. So for a long time, there was, and I mean, still, I struggle with sleep, right? And that's the worst. I saw someone with AS say the other day, like, I'm very good at managing the pain or ignoring the pain, I think is more appropriate.
Yeah.
It's the exhaustion that gets me.
Yes, and the fucking
so
fatigue.
I've come up with all of these, like, somersaults and hurdles. Like, I'm playing with an acupressure mat and I'm sitting on like a little like coccyx thing and like whatever, and like I just ignore it and I'm just like, yeah, no, my life is hurting, whatever. I hurt every day. But when you don't sleep, that fucks you up.
That's when everything is.
I mean, I'm glad you brought up like the invisible part of not only the illness, but like the treatment of it too.
I jumped all over the place.
No, I mean, sorry, I didn't give you like the same breadth of explanation, but like, I'm glad you brought that up because same with Rick, like the way we talk about how we genuinely had no fucking clue, like I would have never guessed. And I have to assume that you were treating it in private the same way that like, I literally have a standing acupressure mat under my feet. I have an entire drawer right here with like CBD creams and fucking essential oils and like a TENS unit. There's just stuff people don't see that I'm doing, you know, behind the camera. And I have to imagine it's, I don't want to sound sexist, but I have to assume that it's harder for you guys. You know, we're all in relationships and I have to wonder like how your partners help or try to be there for you guys. Like, what is a way to be there for a dude in chronic pain?
I can answer, but do you have one, Garrett?
Treat me like a little baby boy. You know, like, I'm trying to get like fucking rocked to bed, cradled, like, because honestly, like the whole thing was like, oh man, I think I need my back rubbed or like elbowed, you know, because I'm just like, I gotta fucking hurt it back. Get, you know, because it always felt like a deep pain, you know, and I went and got like a deep tissue massage and that didn't help because it's like, that's not a thing, you know, you can't get there. So I mean, after the surgery, you're just crippled. You're crippled for a good amount of time and you need like the little grabber and all of that stuff. So having a partner really did help the most, like, because she did most of everything for me.
To be the partner of someone with chronic pain obviously takes a lot of patience and understanding, and sometimes understanding that you can't understand. So to go all over the place here, like, my partner was instrumental in me getting a diagnosis. Similarly to Garrick, ignored just absurd pain for over a decade, dating back to high school. Mm-hmm. And she was like, wait, you're not supposed to never be sleeping and be in pain all the time. You need to go do something about that. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know what a rheumatologist was.
Me neither.
Before her. But the hard thing now that I'm like in it is, again, going back to the invisible part. So there are times where I have flare ups or I'm just exhausted or I'm in pain. Yeah.
Yes.
And how does she know that I need to relax, or am I just being a lazy piece of shit? Right.
Yeah.
It's like, we had a TV. And I couldn't explain to her why, this was pretty early in our relationship, for like a month, every day after work, she was like, can we mount the TV? And I'm like, I don't want to.
After work,
And it took a really long time for me to figure out the language to share, like, I'm exhausted and I just need to lay here because, you know, there are bigger problems here. I'm pushing myself too hard and not caring for myself in other ways. And this is the price I'm paying.
Yeah.
I didn't know all of that, but all I knew in that moment is like, I cannot be a partner in the way that.
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
Like, basic things.
Yeah.
So I think that's your masculinity question, right? Of like,
well, yeah, it's with
me. I can't
me
mount
too.
A TV. I can't lift a couch. Right. I can't, like, you better believe I'm getting a mover when we
and
get
like,
out of
to
here.
To the opposite of that, with like my personal experience, at least, it's that I'm being too much. It's like, I'm crying too much, or like, is it actually so bad that I should cancel this thing? Like, my partner doesn't feel that way, but society has made me feel that way, that like, it's better to keep it in and deal with it this way. And then I find that it seeps out other ways. If I'm not like brutally honest with him about how bad the flare is, or like, you know, the exhaustion at the end of the day, like 3 o'clock, I'm done with my face. Truly. Like 3 o'clock. Yeah. I'm like, okay, time to like stick my head in a bowl of ice and like you know, do one of those massages that will only help for as long as I'm actually massaging myself. But if I find, and I think that that might be a common thread with all three of ours, is like, if you don't acknowledge it, it's going to come back to bite you in some manner, whether it be becoming a medical anomaly or, you know, not being able to be honest with your partner or whatever. I feel like, and maybe you guys can relate, that there are stages of ebb and flow of denial for me. Like if I think about having this too much,
the whole story.
Yeah. If I having this forever, I'll fucking jump off a fucking building. Like it's too much to be like, this is forever. I have to live in it today. Cause if I go beyond, it gets too scary. Maybe that was a little too dark.
No, I'm going to, denial is going to take me on something where I'm going to talk for the next 3 minutes. So Garrick, if you want to jump in, now's your chance. Man.
No.
That's the point.
I feel like I already touched on it, man. Like it, I just wanted to think that it was an injury thing. That was my excuse for most of it. It was just like, oh, well, I mean, this is either aging or, you know, I got flipped on my back once and it hurt, you know?
Yeah.
There's the denial of your pain, but then there's also the denial of your diagnosis. So right now, I think like, in the last couple of weeks, I finally, after years of having this and publicly and talking about it and being an advocate for AS, I think I am only now just getting to a place where I'm like, no, oh, I have this for life and I need to be on the offense and take care of it. And I'm still adjusting to that, but I'm going to bring it back to when I got my diagnosis. I had the totally different experience than you guys. I was relieved as fuck. I was thrilled because I was living in this place. We're telling my story in this like Tarantino way.
You're a very storyteller.
Yeah. So I, you know, I was compensating by going to the chiropractor at like twice a week at the end. Right. And finally I had someone who said, here's what's wrong with you. And here's the medicine that's going to make you feel better. And so I was like, this is it. I did it. I solved the puzzle. And as another quick detour, I will say it took me a long time to convince my doctor, like after telling him for years that I could not sleep. And so if I, as a white man, could not convince my doctor, how hard do you think it was for people of color and for women? Like 100% what Garrick said. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, so I then got like just this relief and I didn't fucking research my disease. I didn't want to know anything about it. Not a thing. I had medicine. That was it. And then my medicine stopped working. And then I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. All right. I got to figure out some better life habits. So then I started doing yoga a little bit more, found another medicine, started feeling good again, went back to ignoring it. You know, AS is not just, and I think a lot of chronic pains, it is, you need to embrace a full lifestyle change, but that is something that you have to get to on your own time.
Yes.
So now I'm like, all right, my diet is going to be completely overhauled. I'm like, I'm dropping all animal-based products starting like days from now.
Exciting. I'm
sure
vegan. Yeah.
Vegan Zach like, Daddy. Vegan
is
Zaddy
so
over
well
here.
Documented on the internet. That,
yeah.
Like, that is something that helps people with inflammatory conditions.
Yep. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
but I didn't care.
Yep. It also becomes that thing of like, I feel like, yeah, and also by the way, Rick, I didn't ask if you could stay past 5 o'clock. I just realized, do you need to go?
No,
me and Zach were like, we're free. Okay. Cause I do think this is really helpful. Like, there are things that I know that will make me feel better and worse. And sometimes I fully fucking ignore it because I get in the mindset of why fucking me? Why do I have to not eat the thing or not be able to do the thing or like, why me? And so I fucking sabotage myself.
So this is where the sci-fi brain comes in.
Ooh.
Where I just think about all of the different factors that have to come into place for you to be alive right now. So for one of those factors to slightly be off really tracks, because just because somebody isn't dealing with your thing doesn't mean that nobody's dealing with anything at all, you know? Like, so for you to say why me, it's just like somebody looking at your entire situation could be like, why them?
You know?
Right? Yeah. It's just like, why do you why is the only thing that you have to deal with is this your
one,
your chronic pain and so on and so forth. So I kind of like think about like the chaos
of the
universe rather than like being like, why is this thing happening to me?
100% That's such a good, I'm gonna use that in the book and credit you.
Sick. Thank you.
I'm gonna have to like do an interview or whatever with both of you, truly. But wrapping up, because we do have to end this podcast eventually, even though I don't want to, and even though I know I'm gonna like talk to you guys off thread in like 5 minutes anyways. Thank you for talking about this. Thank you for being vulnerable and being open, because we don't get these kind of conversations. I couldn't even find podcast episodes with this kind of conversation when I was trying to steal questions to ask men about chronic pain. So I think
I'm not done.
Oh my God.
Derek. I got more questions. I don't want to let you wrap up.
I mean, like, we're going to have to, bitch, because I have to. Well, I guess I could split up the ads a little bit, but this would be the longest episode I've ever posted before.
Okay. That's great. I love that honor.
So special. Okay, let me ask one last question. Zach, what is your question? That will be my last question.
Well, to me, it's like, I want to know, Garrick, because I don't really have an understanding. What is next for you on your chronic pain journey?
That's what I was gonna ask.
Are you fixed, or is this something that you are going to have a level of pain still, and are you going to then get into denial about that like I did, and then a year from now realize you have
do more? You have support.
So even now, after this super aggressive surgery, I still feel it. So that is a little like disheartening.
Right.
So I'm, you know, a little worried. Not gonna lie. Yeah. I know that I fixed this glaring problem, and I'm hoping that as the bone fuses, it gives me a lot of relief, like if it just like finishes.
But you're weeks out from surgery, and like any surgery, you're never gonna know really for years. Like,
well, think about how long your body, 30 years it's been pushing in the wrong direction.
That's
so it's gonna take a lot of rehab
to push it back.
So do you have to do anything now? Like, I'm assuming physical therapy, or not want you moving and strengthening?
Not right now. I'm not supposed to be moving. I'm not supposed to be lifting anything over 10 pounds, all of that stuff. So
are you following those guidelines, Rickard?
Kind of. Yeah. I'm not moving. I'm not running or anything like that. I've been pretty.
Yeah. Cause your head will fall off.
Yeah. It like anytime my head, like if I drop down or something like that hurts, you know. Like, so if I'm running upstairs or anything like that, it is not great. But I'm hoping as it fuses, I'm hoping like within the next couple years I get some relief. But that's the other thing, is just that it is a fucking hope, you know. Like, somebody just fuse my spine together, and I'm hoping and praying that I'll be okay in a couple years.
That's so fucked up. Someone fused my spine together, and I hope it worked.
Maybe there was like the couple of days before the surgery, it was one of the first times after I was getting like pre-ops and all of that stuff, where a doctor was looking at me like, well, I hope this works. And I was like, wait, I'm sorry.
You don't get to say that, doctor. You think that. You don't say that to me.
Again, I speak in hyperbole. He says, good luck, and I hope this brings you some relief. Is
and
exactly
you're like,
what he said.
You can't
still bad.
Promise me. Yeah.
Right.
Well,
you
it's fucked up.
Promise
it. It's fucked up that they can't say this.
Yeah, the surgeon, she was like, yeah, it's going to straighten out your spine and all of that stuff, and it'll give you relief.
There's so many other pieces that have to literally relearn 30 years of the way that they are. And
right.
Yeah, your whole body had to reset. I mean, I know that it's going to be a journey for you, but I'm happy that there is a hope. I do too. Like, even though there's no cure right now, like, we have Teslas. We didn't have Teslas 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Who fucking knows what we're going to like. I think that's why I stay.
I think about my cousin. who's born with diabetes, just type 1. And I used to watch her prick her finger like every couple of days or something like that. I'm not sure what the exact dosage of it is.
Yeah.
But now she has that patch on her
the
arm
that just
gives
it.
You insulin.
So cool.
And it was probably one of the like scarier things I would watch growing up because I'm like, oh my God, you know, her finger's bleeding. That's crazy that she has to do that all of the time.
Yeah.
Now it's literally so easy. And that was in the span of 15 to 20 years. So,
And it's a question of funding. And to any listeners out there who got some deep pockets, pain associations, they need help because these are just so severely under researched things.
Yeah.
And the diabetes community is lucky that it got that funding and research.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially diabetes, because I feel like it mostly affects an underrepresented community in the medical field.
That's a good
and
point.
Good point. I'm not holding my breath for trigeminal neuralgia awareness research studies, but back pain is like the number one, like over 50% of Americans live with chronic pain, which is a stat that like we don't fucking talk about, which is absolutely bonkers to me.
Yeah.
But a big part of that is back. And it's back, knee, and hip pain, I think, are the top three. And then it goes into like chronic migraine. I can't remember the rest. And this is chronic pain, not chronic illness. So that's like another, and sometimes they're intertwined and yada, yada, yada. Zach, what's next for you? You just said you're going off animal product.
Yeah, so I'm trying to make this my job. And like literally one, I think I haven't made enough content about this. So
you've been talking about it a lot.
I'm like pre-proing a whole slate for the next couple months. And part of the reason I'm doing that is I have this, psychological deficiency where I ignore things about myself unless I'm making videos about them.
There you go.
I only care about my creative output. So I'm like, oh, I can trick this idiot. I'll make him make videos about his health and then he'll do it.
Oh, well, so, that's exciting for listeners though, to know that that's coming up in your slate. Like,
well, I'm going to include you guys in them where I can. So we'll talk immediately after this.
We've talked about bees. We've talked about
birds.
I'm
sorry.
Birds. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm working with a guy now a trainer who has AS. He's coming up with a whole meal plan for me. He's having me work out 4 times a week. Like, I'm trying to go on the full offense here.
Oh,
fuck yeah.
Is that going to get shredded?
I'm scared.
I hope so.
You won't be chick anymore. You'll be
with
the
AS.
Chicken.
And I don't know if this is true for all chronic pain. It's like, it's either inflammatory pain. It's either inflammatory pain, muscle pain, or nerve pain. And for me, like, I never know which. So I don't know how much of this can be helped with like structural bulking up, but
it's the same thing with TN and AD. It's like, you don't know what's nerve and joint and muscle because they literally run through each other, and the jaw is the most complex joint in the body. And it's like, you can't tell which thing you're having. So it's just like, I'm going to snort a line of magnesium, throw some CBD on that bitch and fucking stick my head in an ice bucket. But okay, we have to
let me
stop.
Tell you also to listeners out there, like, get your chronic pain buddies, because I haven't really like leaned on the people in my life who I know have chronic pain to the extent that I can. And as I was like trying to come up with different products that would help me, like, Kelsey has them all. She's like at least 3 years
like,
ahead
of
me on
done
this journey.
I was like, I did a whole episode about it. Like, we're out here. We're trying to talk about it more. And you're so right. Like, find your little people.
I don't know.
And one more thing.
If you
I don't know
if you remember this, Kelsey, but while we were at BuzzFeed, you gave me a back massager.
Oh, I do remember this.
And that's why I kept asking you for it. And I didn't know.
Wow.
At that point, I didn't know. I was like, oh, it's just my back. My back just feels weird. Blah, blah, blah.
I mean, I bought another one. I bought one that like doesn't hook. It's more like a weighted one, but it was another Band-Aid over a bullet hole moment that we're just like lying to ourselves and our coworkers.
I got back pain. It's all good. And like, I would use it and like, I would have to squeeze the thing in order to like get in
the
there. But that's not what it was. It was literally just touching it and moving it around and making it worse.
Great. We live and we learn, right?
Yeah.
We live and we learn. Okay. Well,
listen, if you want to hear us ignore our pain,
go on over to Guilty Pleasures because you can hear us be funny. And we'll just pretend for an hour every week that we're not in constant pain all the time.
But know that we are, right, guys? Yeah.
That's the plug.
Yeah.
Go listen to us talk about the stuff that we love. Yeah. And we'll like pretend that we're not literally always
on
hurting.
Fire. Yeah. All three of us constantly.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay. But like besides Guilty Pleasures, where can the people follow you? Rick, you go ahead.
Garrick Bernard on Instagram. Just follow there.
No Twitter because he doesn't want you to follow.
Want you to follow me on Twitter.
All right, Zachary, where should they find you?
At Corn Diddy with a K. I have videos with the Try Guys, but I don't care about that. I want you to listen to Guilty Pleasures. Most fun thing, and you're already here because you love Kelsey. Just come on over. You're gonna have a
you're
good
gonna
time.
Love them. I love you're them. You're gonna have you're a gonna good time. Yeah. What a trio. I never thought would have been such a good trio to be.
Is this week's episode?
It can
or
be.
2 weeks. Well, you tell me. I'm gonna tell them what episode.
No, I'm gonna do a thyroid episode on Monday. Actually.
So this is after.
Yeah.
Okay, so today's episode is
our
buddy Shane
Madej
with Speed Racer, which is such a fun movie. Last week, you can go back and listen. Kelsey talked about Crossroads, which is her favorite movie.
Crossroads is Monday?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I have to mentally prep it. I have to get things ready. Okay. Confidants, you know you can give this 5 stars. If it's not 5 stars, please don't rate it at all because you know that I'm sensitive. Speaking of being sensitive, go grab yourself some merch. Go grab yourself some I'm sensitive merch. You can also get the
book.
Why
is my screen not flipped? What the fuck?
Oh, it looks...
It's backwards. No, does it look backwards? Oh, no, it's a selfie.
Only mine is backwards, yeah.
Okay, no, it's a selfie.
You all look very cute. And we'll see you next week's Confidants. Bye-bye!